Double fries, no slaw. Sunday, December 21st. Richie, 4 days from Christmas. TJ Pinger, Richie Barnes, back with you guys again after a two-week break. A little vacation time. Actually, I was out of town 1 week. Shout out to the great city of Scottsboro, Alabama. And then last week, my little guy had a part in the Christmas play. So, yeah, we're back. Couple weeks off, we're back. The last couple weeks haven't been too crazy anyway, though. So I feel like it was a well-deserved vacation after the last 2 years. Richie, have you got all your Christmas shopping done? Are you caught up? What do you got going on over there?
We have, yeah. We're done with everything. It'll be a interesting Christmas. We normally go up to, you know, South Carolina to be with my sister because my mom goes up there to be with the grandkids and everything. This year it'll just be me and Lindsay, so we just did everything on Amazon and had it all shipped out. So it made life really easy, and we'll have a nice, quiet Christmas, which I'm actually looking forward to. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. I was telling somebody else, like, there's a bicycle right here from my middle kid, Bryant, that literally looks like a motorbike. So all the kids are – hopefully they don't see this. The kids don't watch, though. A little bit of a joke. But they're all getting new bikes. I don't know. Like, just a bunch of junk that they don't need. But I think when you get older, like, the joy of Christmas just ends up being watching your kids open stuff up. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty bad about, like, if I want something, I just go buy it. And so the fun of Christmas is watching little kids be excited about opening presents. Like, to me, that's the best part. And so,
me and Lindsay, we like to be more creative because, like, we get stuff throughout the year and we typically put like a $50 limit on what we get for each other. And just see who can be the most creative. And, you know, that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I wish I would put a $50 limit on my kids, but that doesn't.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You mentioned South Carolina. What's the place you always tell me to go if I'm ever in Charleston?
Hull's Chop House.
Okay, so they have one in Nashville, which, as luck may have it. Richie, I got something else to tell you. We'll get to FSU in just a minute. I know none of y'all really want to hear about FSU football. You want to hear about Richie and I's lives and Christmas and stuff. But the last time I was in Nashville, they have one in right downtown too. So really good. I got the ribeye because I know that's what you get, I'm sure, right? Like, that's your cut typically, right? Yeah. Is a ribeye. Oh, yeah. So really, really good stuff. Hey, how about this? I am going back tonight. I don't know if I'll go to Hall's or not, but I'm going back to Nashville for the FCS championship.
Really? Okay.
Oh. Anyway.
I think we lost TJ, and I think he's back now.
No, I think we lost you. Harlan, who was it on? Dang it. It was on me. All right, never mind. All right, so anyway, in 2 weeks, I'm going back to Nashville for the FCS championship. So I don't know if I'll get Halls again or not, but a little fun fact for you. All right, that's enough Christmas talk. Everybody's pissed off about Gus in the comments. Let's give Guthrie some love, and then let's get to the first topic. But appreciate those that are tuned in after we took a two-week vacation. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's. You can visit all of their locations in Tallahassee. There's three of them, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, and 2870 Appalachia Parkway. If you're not cooking anything for Christmas, go buy Guthrie. Listen, I don't even know if Guthrie's is open on Christmas. Probably not. So you may have to go Christmas Eve and then, like, air fry some of them the next day. But if you're in Tallahassee or anywhere, is that me again?
Yep.
Oh, good Lord. This might be the worst show ever. Anyway, all right. Appreciate Guthrie's. We'll try and get through it. I don't know why it's doing that. But Richie, let's talk about some coaching hires. In fact, what I'll do is I'll let Richie talk a little bit of coaching hires. Richie, you can pull up the note that I sent you, and I will restart real quick, and hopefully that kind of fixes where we're at. But Richie, it's all yours, man. Take it away.
Yeah, you know, a couple new coaching hires for Florida State. Obviously, we had some departures, and it'll be interesting to see how these work out. I don't think that fans are overly excited about these hires. You know, it's – but at the same time, when you have a head coach who is essentially a lame duck, I don't think any reasonable person thinks that he'll be around for another, you know, even 3 years or even 2 years. At this point, it's just, you know, we're just having to live things out and work through them. And, you know, just thinking about who we brought in and what we have available, it's almost depressing. You know, Blue Adams is obviously one of the hires that came in. Just a couple notes on him. You know, he's coming in as a cornerbacks coach. He did play in the NFL, and he's a veteran defensive backs coach, hired as defensive or cornerbacks coach at Florida State. One thing that was kind of concerning to me about this hire, and, you know, you give them the benefit of the doubt until they actually figure out what's going on and how they're going to, you know, fit in at Florida State. But I did some quick research on him. You know, one thing that's concerning is 247 has recruiter rankings, not just recruiting rankings. And they rank every recruiter based on which recruit you are the main recruiter for. And if they, you know, sign with you or not. And, you know, I looked up the Big Ten because he comes from Michigan State. So I looked up the Big Ten from 2025. And it was kind of disturbing because I had hit the load more page. You know, the thing we give Miami fans crap about all the time when it comes to, you know, recruiting rankings early on. I had hit the load more page twice just to get him only in the Big Ten. And he was ranked the 56th best recruiter. He was third best on the staff. You know, TJ and I were talking a little bit off air, and he made a good point that, you know, Michigan State was a complete dumpster fire. So that makes it a little more difficult, but recruiters can recruit. And I don't know, TJ, I was just telling them about, you know, how he's coming down as our quarterbacks coach from Michigan State and how he was as a recruiter and how that was the most concerning thing to me. I went straight negative instead of looking for positives first. You might be on mute, TJ. So I'll just keep going. But yeah, he's bounced around a lot. He is an experienced, a recruiting coach, or a defensive backs coach, excuse me. TJ's throwing me off here. But yeah, he will come in and replace Patrick Surtain. You know, I think that was a really disappointing hire, one that we were all excited for. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, there are reasons behind the scenes that I don't want to get into too much detail. TJ may want to, that's fine. But, you know, it's disappointing because it seems like every hire we've made has just not really worked out under Norvell. TJ, are you there?
Finally.
There we go.
All right. Well, hopefully it doesn't freeze. If it does, then I'm going to throw up the deuces and call it a Sunday. But we'll see. Yeah, I don't know, man. My biggest complaint, and Blue might be fine. Like, are we talking Blue right now?
Yeah, we're talking Blue right now.
I tried to watch on YouTube while the computer was restarting. Yeah, I mean, my biggest complaint is that, you know, yeah, there was stuff going on behind the scenes with Pat Surtain, and I don't think Pat Surtain was elite by any means, but I think he was one of the better coaches on a bad staff. And Florida State offered every other coach that, whether they left or were retained, they offered everyone else an extension by a year, right? And so Florida State was willing to run it back with this entire staff. Like, could you imagine the message it would have sent if Florida State would have brought back every single coach from a team that went 5-7 this year, minus Pat Surtain, which I think you can have the conversation and you can say, yeah, there were things going on behind the scenes that made Mike move on from Pat. There had to be, right? Otherwise, there's no way you're keeping John freaking Papuchis and, you know, other people that they offered, extensions to and getting rid of Pat. So you fired Pat, and if you had to do that because of off-the-field stuff or behind-the-scenes stuff, then that's fine, whatever. And you whiffed on the guy that you originally wanted. You missed on the guy that ended up landing at Florida. And so, yeah, I mean, Blue Adams is fine. I don't think he's going to light the world on fire. I also don't think it's going to crush you by any means. Maybe it's a high upside type hire that with a better logo than Michigan State, he can recruit a little bit better. We'll see. I don't have a lot of recruiting hope for most of the staff under Mike Norvell, but maybe it a little bit, maybe it can even be a little bit of an upgrade. Again, do I have a lot of confidence in that? Not really. But if you have a little bit more energy, a little bit more personality, I don't think Pat was a great recruiter. I think he was good. But like, what guys have you brought in and gotten just a ton of production out of? Shamar is certainly one of them. And he did a good job with Jerrion Jones and Renato Green, but those aren't guys he recruited. So like, who has Pat brought in that you're just like over the moon about where they're at? Charles Lester had been a huge disappointment. Kai Bates now in the portal, which we'll get to the portal here in a minute. So yeah, maybe it is a slight upgrade. It's frustrating because you had to go to option B. You had to go to plan B because Florida came in and a group of five coach that does have a longer leash, and you understand why. A coach that's on your staff right now, his brother went to Florida instead of coming to coach with his own flesh and blood. So I do think that the hire doesn't move me one direction, really, really good or really, really bad. Like, it's not a huge deal either way. I think it's just kind of par for the course, status quo. Honestly, Richie, with both these hires, the quarterback coach too, it feels like a lot of punting going on. Like we kind of know what 2026 is going to be, and we're just trying to get another year down the road hopefully we can get to 8 wins. And this is from an administration standpoint. Hopefully we can get to 8 wins and sell us on bringing him back another year, or it's just bad enough and we lopped another year off of the buyout. But I think Blue is fine. I don't think it's, I'd love to come back in a year from now and say, dude, this is the best hire that Norvell's made. I think the best hire he's made so far, by the way, is Herb Hand. But all that aside, I don't know, man. You fired the one guy that seemed like he was, or one of the guys who was halfway competent on the staff, and you brought everybody else back, which if that doesn't tell you who Norvell is, then, again, you've got 7 wins in 2 years. I think you guys know who he is. That's what's frustrating to me. It's not the specific hire.
Yeah. You mentioned the comment, like, it feels like we're punting. And the first analogy that came to mind is that, if you have a lame duck president, they just stop caring about policy, right? They go to Congress and they'll say, hey, if get something on my desk, I might sign it. We'll see. But they're not out there in the meetings with these people pushing them to do things. And this is not getting political. It's just, everyone knows when you have a lame duck, they just check out. They don't care, and that's just human nature. And I think Norvell knows, I got another $50+ million coming my way, regardless of what happens on the field. So let me just make the easiest hire. I'm not going to go out there and lobby all these coaches just to try and see if I can get the best possible hire. It just seemed lazy. And, I think Norvell has a reputation, and from what, we see and hear, he is not lazy when it comes to getting to work early, leaving late, running his practices. He's high energy, but he's lazy when it comes to recruiting, and that's just the fact. And right now, I think it shows he's lazy in coaching hires. He's like, okay, let me see who I can get. I didn't get my guy, so let me see if this guy will say yes. Okay, you said yes. Sure, come on in. And that's kind of what it feels like.
So, and I'm getting some comments that, some people are struggling with the audio. I don't know at this point, man. It could just be YouTube struggling. I really don't have a great answer. Sorry that this one's kind of a crap show. You haven't gone to quarterback coach, right? We haven't done that one yet.
No, not yet.
So we can talk a little bit about Austin Tucker. If there's anything Mike Norvell loves other than losing to ACC programs, it or losing on the road, it is promoting from within. And so Florida State offered Tony Tokar an extension. He decided to go elsewhere and not take that. And they bring in Austin Tucker. They promote Austin Tucker to quarterbacks coach. Brendan Bogner will be the assistant quarterback coach to assist there, because Florida State's been terrible at developing quarterbacks. Former wide receiver at Arkansas from 2007 to 2010. He's been in various offensive roles. Was an assistant wide receiver coach last year. Was at Auburn. Was at Memphis. Was at North Alabama. also, you know, was a high school coach as well. I don't know that I don't know that this moves me a ton either way either. I don't know that I feel over the moon about this. I don't know that I care as much. I do think that Florida State's done a pretty piss poor job of developing quarterbacks or retaining quarterbacks, and they continue to have to go to the portal year after year after year. They're probably going to have to do it again this year, unless you feel like Kevin Sperry might be the guy. So I don't know that I feel very strongly about this one way or the other either.
Yeah, but in realistically, a quarterback coach, when you have a Gus Malzahn and a Mike Norvell, who should be enough to develop quarterbacks, although they've not proven that, but, you know, you needed an ace recruiter. And I don't care if it was a former defensive backs coach. Let him coach the quarterbacks, right? As long as he can recruit. And that's the only way Norvell's going to save his job. You know, I relate it somewhat to back in, you know, the late 20-teens. You know, Leonard Hamilton was about to lose his job, but he had just brought in Dwayne Bacon, Malik Beasley, and he had a guy named Jonathan Isaac waiting as one of the top recruits in the country committed to him. So the athletic director at the time made a smart decision, clearly, and said, you know what, let's see how this plays out. He's got a great class. Now, if Mike has a poor season but ends up signing, you know, a top seven class, that's going to help his argument significantly, because that class falls apart if you fire him in December. I think you really needed a recruiter at this. Most assistants need to be great recruiters. You know, you have your coordinators who should be coordinating everything. And then your assistants, yeah, they run the day-to-day practices, but they're the ones who are on the road more than anybody. 10 times as much as, you know, Coach Norvell is. And that's based on how often he's allowed to. So it's, you know, that's no shot at Norvell, but you have a talent deficiency on this roster. That's no excuse to go 2-10. But how did you end up with a talent deficiency? Because you did not plan recruiting properly. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about Austin Tucker. I wish him the best. Hopefully, maybe he comes in and, you know, turns the quarterback room into one of the best in the league. I highly doubt that, but can he recruit? That's all I care about, TJ.
Are you a little surprised that Gus is staying?
I am, but I think my thoughts is he probably didn't have any better option.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. He's making a crap ton of money because for Florida. And okay, so here I have mixed thoughts on this and I'll share them and I've said it on here, but I want to see if your thoughts kind of align. Maybe we can agree on something for once. No, I think we've actually agreed a lot lately. In fact, you even said that here lately. Like, well, I hate to disagree with you, but I think Gus tried to get a better job making more money because he knows that this is a dumpster fire and couldn't get a better job making more money. And so people like tossed around the idea of him like retiring. He makes a crap ton of money and doesn't have to recruit. Like he just has to come up with offensive game plans. And it's the same five plays over and over again, you know, reverse to the wide receiver, run a draw with Tommy. You know, like it's the same crap over and over. So jump ball to Deuce. So why would you retire? He's making too much money. So on the other side, people are, oh, well, Norvell should fire him. I don't think Alford would have let, or whoever's calling the shots around there, I don't think Alford would have let Norvell fire him. Because I don't think they'd have given him, because like, who are you going to hire that's better than Gus? When, you know, you're going to have to pay the buyout and then you're going to have to pay another coach a crap ton of money to come in here because you know that it's a sinking ship. So I would have loved for Gus to get a new job, not because I think you'd get somebody better by any means, but because that would have been some of that money off the books. But I totally get Gus not wanting to leave.
Yeah, no, it's look, and he's a how old is Gus roughly?
You know, 60.
He won't be coaching 5 years from now. He's going to retire soon. He's getting 10 years ago what would have been head coach money now as a coordinator. You know, like you said, he's not demanded to recruit the way he should be. You know, he just tries to use connections to former players to bring him into Tallahassee. That's the extent of how he recruits. And it's a cushy job with low expectations. And in his mind, he's like, well, if Norville gets fired next year, so what? I don't have to work. He's in the best position where he's almost at retirement age. Most likely, if he's made smart decisions, he does not have to work. But he loves football, and he loves calling plays on game days. So, yeah, it made no sense for him to leave unless he did get a better job with higher paying money.
Yeah, and you're also at a place, this isn't crapping on Norvell, but he's got a pretty sweet deal where he is not held accountable for recruiting at all and does not.
Or offensive output, apparently.
Yeah, like he doesn't. Well, they can run it up against the bad teams. I mean, like he doesn't have to recruit. Like that's just not part of, like how many recruiting visit pictures have you seen him in? Like a couple. Like he's just not doing it. And so in 2025, you know what the worst thing, 2026 in what, 9-10 days? You know what the worst part of college football is right now if you're a coach? Dealing with kids that only care about money. Like it's the worst part. Like I mean, like we hate Norvell for his recruiting crap, but like it's just, I will say this, like to Norvell's credit or anyone, like literally anyone, Kirby's credit or anybody else, recruiting sucks right now. Like it does, you know, like
yeah,
it's just not an enjoyable thing to do. Now it's still the lifeblood of the program. You still have to do it. I get it, but it's a crappy job right now. Gus ain't got to do that. How many offensive coordinators just like, is it just like, hey dog, you just come in here and call some plays and you go home, man. Like, don't we worry about texting these kids or playing Xbox Live with them or anything else. You just keep on doing what you're doing, man. Like, so I don't know. I think he's got a pretty sweet gig.
Let me ask you a question. Cause I know all the, you know, quote unquote exit interviews or, you know, end of spring or end of winter interviews with players go differently. How many key offensive players that have their interviews with Norvell do you think Gus sits in on? Or is he just like, oh, you got it, Mike. Don't worry about it.
So I'll say this. I think he's probably more involved there just because he's on the office, in the office. I think I would say he's more involved. I don't know if you asked that like somewhat facetiously. I would guess he's pretty involved there because I do think he wants to know like, oh, who they're going to get. Like, I think he's probably part of trying to retain Deuce, you know, or trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do with Tommy, if he gets the waiver or not, you know. I think he's got input there. I think it's the trips on the road and visiting kids that he doesn't like. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm good on this, man. I'll do it if it's in this office, in these new football facilities. I ain't hitting the road, though. You ain't getting me on a helicopter.
Yeah. Well, like you look at, you know, recruiting updates throughout the season and what you hear and everything, and you always hear like, this assistant might suck, but he's driving down to Miami for a game on a Friday night and coming back Saturday. Different things like that. So you never see Gus's name in those updates is what I'm trying to say here.
No, never. I'm a little surprised, not really that surprised to be honest with you, but a little bit surprised that he's coming back. I'd hoped that Florida State could get some of that money off the books, which again, if they made a decision at the end of 2026 would help them with that buyout. So, all right, let me give some love to Campus Course. And then we'll go on to the next segment. Make sure that you go. Look, you're probably too late to order for, you know, I don't even see my hat around me. So I've massively failed here because I don't have the hat in front of me. There you go. Thank you, Richie. Campuscourse.com. Go get the deal that they've been running with the polo and the hat. You can use our code DFNS20 to get 20% off of your order. The hat and polo for $109. It's fully customizable as far as the polo goes. You can put the logo on your chest, on the back, on the sleeve there, as you see the Seminoles, you can put whichever logo you want on it. And then the hat is my favorite. Well, that's not my favorite hat, but it is my favorite new hat that I have right now. I don't wear a lot of hats. Richie does. Richie's a hat guy. But go check out campuscourse.com. We appreciate them for their support. All right, Richie, next up, Florida State loses a ton of guys to the transfer portal now that we are, a few weeks outside of the season. I'll run down a list, and I have thoughts on some of these, Jalen King, I'm not going to do the whole thing. Jalen King, quarterback, don't think it matters. Jason Jenkins, there was a transfer from Tennessee. I'll say this one was somewhat unlucky, but this was a big get at the time from Tennessee, a guy who was productive before he got injured there, and then unfortunately he gets injured again at Florida State. I think injuries were kind of a derailment to anything of promise happening here. But somebody that you were kind of counting on this year, and the defense was okay, but not great. Defensive line had no depth at all. I think this was, I mean, honestly, like this was a miss. Now it was kind of unlucky with injuries, but kind of stinks that he's now jumping to the portal. You're essentially whatever you paid him last year, you got nothing in return.
Yeah, no, it seems like we get a lot of that lately in the portal. I think we were so excited when Mike was like one of the pioneers of the transfer portal and it just landed hit after hit after hit. And this one, you can't really put it on the kid because, like you said, injuries did play a big role. But, you know, from a financial aspect, like you said, you've paid a probably a decent penny because he was highly sought after. And for him to leave, you know, I don't blame any kid who leaves after a 2-10 season, though. Like that's, you know,
well, he was here for 5-7. Excuse me.
2-10, then 5-7. Like you got him after 2-10. That's crazy. That's even well, crazy to think of.
The way they got guys after 2-10 will make you sick. So yeah, you invested quite a bit here and didn't really get a lot of return. Here's one. This is the one that I probably hate the most. And I know I already know what the comments are going to say. I already know but Randy Pittman going in the portal, I think sucks. I think that sucks for a couple of reasons. One, he came over, you obviously invested to be able to flip him. He came over with his coach. And despite the drops, I know we're going to talk about the drops. I know the one against Clemson, it happened literally right in front of me. I was sitting right in front of where it happened. You know, when you buy a single ticket to a game, you could sit like in great seats because you can always find like a single somewhere. Also, that was too crappy. But I bought a single ticket. I was right in front of it, man. Like I was right off of the 50. First section, great seats, happened right in front of my eyes. I understand the drops. You played him instead of playing any of your young, talented tight ends. Like, you didn't play Landon Thomas this year, and you didn't play Chase Lofton this year, and you didn't play all these young guys that you've recruited. You flipped Amari back over to the other side, which I do think was the right call. But you basically wasted a year of development for other guys to play Randy Pittman, and then you couldn't keep him in the portal. I think this one hurts. I mean, again, where are we going to be at with regard to the entire season? This isn't going to make or break your 2026, but I do think this one hurts a little bit. Most of them I don't care about. This one I did.
Yeah, I think he's a very versatile player. You know, we saw him used in a lot of different ways. Yes, there was the one drop, and we're always going to remember the big drops in the big games, right? And not that you could say Florida State Clemson was a big game this year, but it is for Florida State and Clemson fans. But yeah, you did a lot to bring him in here. But to your point, TJ, you had a former high 4-5-star tight end, depending on what service you look at, basically sitting on the bench all year behind him, and now you lose him, and you'll be lucky if Landon Thomas continues to stick around and wait his turn, because someone's going to see that potential and say, okay, let's go get him. So it's always curious. So, you know, we talked about exit interviews, with coaches and everything. I would have loved to be a fly in the wall on that one because they used him a lot, gave him a lot of opportunity. And I'm sure you probably know a little more than I do from behind the scenes, but I would have loved to hear like the whole story of how this all went down because you invested in him the entire season. Essentially, you invested in him to get him here, first of all. And then, like I said, you gave him a lot of opportunities in games to make plays. And sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. But there's a lot of things you can use him for, lining up at H-back as a receiving tight end. He's an okay blocker, nothing outstanding there. But, yeah, this one's a curious one to me.
You lose Omar Graham. This didn't bother me too much, but I do think he was one of the better linebackers, which is saying something, in a pretty bad unit, but you're not able to return or retain Omar Graham. I do think a lot of these, I'll stop there. Omar Graham leaves linebacker room. You're going to have to go back to linebacker room, obviously this year to replace some guys there. I am a little surprised you retain your linebacker coach, but one of your better linebackers, who I don't think Omar Graham was like, I don't think this makes or breaks your 2026. This one stinks. Cam Davis, kind of a fan favorite, who unfortunately you never really saw him amount to much. Some injuries here. I thought he always was a little bit heavy, not even really like a fat thing. I think he just kind of like ran a little heavy, had injury his senior year. Highly recruited running back, one of the better running backs you'd recruited to Florida State, was a five-star at one time before he was injured his senior year. Kind of stinks to see him go too. So Omar Graham, Cam Davis, and then a third one, Jabril Rawls, cornerback, that three guys you recruited and, I mean, developed into, I mean, Jabril Rawls, you know, nobody was elite on this team. So I certainly don't want to paint a picture of like, oh man, we're losing all our good guys. I mean, we won seven games in 2 years. But Jabril Rawls, you know, reports are that could probably get a seven-figure NIL deal on the market. And if Florida State doesn't feel like they want to match that, like, that's fine. But that to me, that's a tough one, because you recruited him, you developed him into a somewhat productive player, and now you're not able to hold on to him. So those are three that I think are kind of interesting for different reasons.
Yeah, I think Cam Davis, I seems like a really nice kid. Not a kid, young man. He did get opportunities early on, and he's one of those guys. He would never bust a big run. He rarely got tough yards. As soon as a defender would get their arms around him, he was down. And when you look at him, you ask yourself, how is that possible? I wish him the best, but I honestly don't think that's a big loss. You can find running backs. Typically, you know, the truly elite running backs, if they're given opportunities as a freshman, look at Dalvin Cook. And I'm not saying Dalvin Cook is one of one, right? But the second he got an opportunity when Mario Pender went down against Syracuse back in 2014, everyone saw, oh, wow, this guy's different, right? And you see that with freshman running backs all the time. It's probably the one position other than quarterback and receiver where true freshmen can make instant impacts on a roster. And he just didn't. He was just average. And it's not like we have a bunch of elite running backs in the backfield and he couldn't get on the field over them. So that tells me something. Rawls is a big loss, I think. But I agree with you in the sense that why are you going to pay someone a seven-figure NIL deal when, if you're being realistic, looking at 2026, your ceiling is probably 8 wins if you get a few bounces, if you're lucky. So are you going to pay $1 million for a cornerback that probably has a WAR of zero, wins above replacement? I don't see it. So it sucks to lose him, because I think he definitely would have been a starter next year. He's a very good player. But I do understand punting on this one.
Yeah, it's more about the position you're in, the spot you're in, because I don't think it makes sense to overpay for a cornerback that's not like elite. Like if this was Azrae Thomas a couple of years ago, you'd pay up, or Jerrion Jones, right? You'd pay up and you'd say, yeah, we're going to keep this guy. I think Rawls was going to be one of your better defensive backs. But man, with where your whole team is right now, does it make sense if you have a limited amount of money that you're willing to spend because you have a self-imposed cap, because that's what your athletic director has said exists, then it doesn't make sense to spend as much as you maybe would have had to on a guy that's not, you know, Revis Island or something out there. Here's a few that annoy me. I'll give you three, and then there's one more that I think was a good decision. Kai Bates, highly rated 4-star defensive back that you signed to your class a year ago, transferring. You never got anything out of that, the development there for all the Pat lovers. Like, you got absolutely nothing there. Mario Nash Jr., and a 4-star offensive lineman per 247, who you flipped from Mississippi State, really felt like he could be a developmental piece that you ended up leaning on. 6'3", big guy. He transfers out, maybe going back home, back to Mississippi, but you didn't get anything out of that one. And LeJesse Harold, a big flip at the end of signing day, or right around signing day last year, I believe I want to say Ole Miss. Harlan can fact check me on that. But LeJesse Harold, where did he flip from, Harlan? It was either like Ole Miss or LSU. Maybe Auburn. Yeah. So now I've named, you know, every SEC school. It was one of those three. It was Ole Miss, LSU, or Auburn. I know they flipped one guy for Tylan Lee was also a flip, but you lose LeJesse Harold as well. Three guys that you, I mean, let's just call it what it is. To win big time recruiting battles, to get flips at the end of close to signing day, you've got to pay a good amount of money. I think Kai Bates was actually from an LSU flip too, if I remember correctly, or had like decommitted from LSU and then flipped to FSU. To get those flips and get guys to come over close to signing day, you have to pay them. And Florida State paid all three of them and paid them well because it was a 2-win team and then got absolutely nothing out of them. Do I think those guys were going to be just absolute star difference makers in Florida State's program? Probably not. Nash maybe had the best chance of the three as an offensive lineman where you're pretty thin right now. But it is frustrating that you paid a lot of money to get guys to flip, did nothing with them for a year, and then they left. So again, not trying to, oh man, our 2026 is going to be terrible because of those three, but it is kind of a crappy place to be to pay a bunch of money and then get zero ROI on that.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be common. That honestly, like, we're frustrated because of winning 7 games in 2 years, but I think this is a common theme in college football for a lot of schools that are mid-tier, and I hate to say it, Florida State currently is mid-tier at best, right? We're not an elite program right now. We certainly have the potential to get there and get there quickly, I believe, if we find the right guy, but these kids today, and again, I shouldn't use kids, these young men today, they see a high 6-7-figure offers. They're going to take it knowing good and well that if things don't work out or they don't like it where they're at, they can just go shopping around again the following year. It might even take a slight pay cut just to go try something else out or go to a winning team and not a team of a bunch of losers and loser coaches. And I don't blame them for that. That's just the fact of where we are, but it sucks. Yeah. It'd be like, a company investing, a max salary offer for, someone who has a ton of potential. And then after 1 year, they decide, you know what? I just took another job. Someone just gave me more money. Sorry about it. I know I signed a 3-year contract, but realistically there's nothing you can do from a legal standpoint against me. So I'm leaving. And that's kind of what college football is. And it sucks, but that's where we are.
The last one is Edwin Joseph that I'll talk about, which I have mixed thoughts here. Edwin was one of your more talented players. Also, you question a little bit effort and where his head was. Obviously, had a couple of run-ins with Norvell. You saw some confrontation stuff with Norvell. It was frustrating to me, and CJ tweeted about this yesterday, or maybe 2 days ago, but how guys would like do something and get chewed out by Norvell and be back in, like right back in there on the next play, the next series, because the accountability is maybe lower than the standard somehow at Florida State. But this is one that I think hurts you from an overall talent standpoint, but it's probably the right decision for your team just because of once you have no respect for the coach and you've had several confrontations with him, it becomes pretty hard to imagine that you're going to kind of sell out and give max effort in a season where Mike Norvell needs guys to give max effort. So I think Edwin Joseph is an okay player. I don't think he's elite by any means. If he'd come back, he'd have been one of the more talented safeties on your team. Kind of speaks to more of where the roster is than him being a truly elite player. But that was a big win that you had against Miami to get him on signing day a couple of years ago. And then I think you got okay play out of him. Maybe not what you paid as far as an ROI goes, but frustrated to see him go as well, just because not even really on the coach's side, more so on, him not having his head in his ass is maybe a better way to say it. I'll call people out, man. They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars while I sit and yell into YouTube all day. So whatever, we don't play pull punches anymore here.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to Norvell, right? If you allow things to happen, it's an old saying, you either coach things to happen or you allow them to happen. And if you allow a player to continuously act out, and it's not like he was getting in massive trouble off the field or anything like that, but there are TV cameras everywhere at these games. And I'm sure this was happening in practice as well, right? And he's a solid player, and I'm not sure you're sad to see him go because of what he would cost to bring him back, given another losing season in a row, no bowl game. I just think it's all coming full circle to where it comes back to Norvell. Like, he allows that to happen. you know, and if you allow that to happen and players see, it's like when you have a job and you see your coworker constantly messing up and they get away with it over and over and over again. You're like, why am I busting my tail here to try and do the best job I can for this company when this guy over here is making the same or maybe a little more than me? And there's no accountability. And I think that's where this program has become. 2013 or 2023 was special because there was a lot of player on player accountability. That's gone from this program at this point. So it's up to the coaches to step in. And ultimately it's up to your CEO, Mike Norvell, to make sure that every player is held accountable to the same standard, no matter how good or how bad you are. Jimbo kicked Jalen Ramsey out of a practice once and said, I'm going to send your ass back to Tennessee. Now, sure, he was never going to actually do that, but the team saw that and like, oh, Jalen, he's like one of our best players. And Jimbo just kicked him out of practice. Like, that's the accountability you need. If I hate to use this word, I think respect is a better one, but the players need to fear their head coach. And certainly none of this team fears Mike Norvell.
We will probably do another video later on portal targets and where they'll need to go in the portal. Specific targets, I hate to get into that because it just, unless they're really closing on a guy, but position groups that where they'll need to kind of restock and reload, we'll certainly do that later. So stay tuned for that. Richie's got something fun for us, which we'll do in just a minute. I will tell you, if you are in the market for a new or used vehicle or want just a good time in Tallahassee, go check out Tallahassee Ford. They do a ton of events, a lot of them around football season, but they do some with some of the other sports. Go check them out. You can look up their website, TallahasseeFord.com. And again, if you're in the market for a vehicle, they will take you care of. One-stop shop. You don't have to deal with eight different people at the dealership. It is one person from start to finish. You can even buy it all online, and they'll deliver it to you if you're not in the Tallahassee area. So we appreciate them, as always, for their support as well. Last up, Richie. Trying something fun today. They say we're too negative sometimes. Some people think we keep it real. But this will be fun. This will be fun, and we'll be positive. And look, my goal for this, for somebody that may need a little positivity on their Sunday, if you're in a little bit of a bad mood, this one's for you. We're blind ranking today. For those that don't know what that is, Rich, is it 5 or 10? Just give me 5. 10 seems
five. Yeah, 5. No, 10 is way too much.
We're blind ranking something. I don't even know what it was because Richie didn't give me any hints. We're blind ranking something FSU related. Hopefully this is good and not like coaches or something where I've got to be negative about Mike. But blind ranking something, Richie's going to give me 5 things in any order, and I have to blind rank them. Meaning I don't know what, it'd be easy to do this if he gave me the list ahead of time. So like he could give me Dalvin Cook 1 overall and then rank like, oh, who's your best player? Is that, you know, like who knows? But Richie, without further ado, what are we ranking and what's the first one?
Yeah, so to TJ's point, so just to give a quick example, I'm sure a lot of people have seen these before, but never an FSU one. So just a quick example would be like Taco Bell would be the first one out of 5, and TJ would have to rank it 1 through 5. And once he picks that ranking, he cannot change it. So there is some strategy involved. And today, TJ, I have a little bit of criteria, but you will be blind ranking players from the 2013 national title team.
Okay.
And it will be based on their Florida State career only, not anything NFL related. So okay. Not just the 2013 season, but their careers and no NFL.
All right, let's go.
And if you guys like this, let us know in the comments. We'll do it again sometime. If you hate it, let us know. We'll stop it. And also you can play along, use some integrity. Don't keep using the same number for different people. But you got to be quick. So TJ, the first player from the 2013 national title team, again, entire career, I have Nick O'Leary. 1 through 5.
I'd probably say 3. Like, I think Florida State wins the title without Nick, no doubt, but he was a legend and really good. So I'm assuming you'll give me a couple that are worse than him, a couple that are better. Like, so that's how I'm coming up with 3. I mean, you could give me 4 guys that were absolute garbage. Not that there were any trash players on that team, but I'll go Nick O'Leary at 3.
And I'll give you one hint. I do not have any like random walk-ons that nobody's heard of on this list or anything. So you don't have to worry about that. Second one, LaMarcus Joyner.
Boy, so I'm going to not put him at one just because but it feels like he honestly could be one for me. I'll go shoot. Man, his career was phenomenal at FSU. Yeah. It's just going to piss me off when you say Jameis number five and I can't put him at one. Man, I'll go two because I would feel worse about ranking somebody else below him. But I'm going to go two here. And I feel like that's a mistake. I feel like I should probably go one.
I know you too well, TJ. Third player on the list. Interesting one. The most accurate kicker in college football history, Roberto Aguayo.
Yeah, I'll go four. Yeah, I'll say four here. I mean, I don't know who, you know, I'm keeping everything kind of in the middle. And yeah, I mean, there are certainly players that were less valuable to FSU than he was. And so I obviously have no way of knowing what direction you'll go with the last two, but I'll go four. Although he could be five, man, like, because there were so many great players there. I'm probably going to underrank somebody because of that. Let me say this before we go on. If you would have given me those three players without blind ranking, like all three of them at once, this is the order I would have them first, second, and third the way I have them, right? Like, obviously, I have two more spots to fill, but I feel good about where I'm at right now. But I feel like I'm going for a loop here in a second.
All right. Timmy Jernigan.
Oh, boy. What's tough is I could criminally overrate somebody else by making him number five right now. I would probably have Timmy at three if I could do this, you know, knowing what I know now. I'd probably put him behind LaMarcus. I'll go Timmy at five just to hold out hope on who the last one is. But that's, I mean, Timmy was more important than Roberto and probably Nick as well.
You got your wish. I saved him for last just to try and beat you into it. But I did have, as you can all see, Jameis Winston was on the last on the list. So
yeah, easy one. So here's the thing. I feel good about this ranking because if I would have done it, the only thing I would have done is bump Timmy to three. So like I'd have had Jameis, LaMarcus, Timmy, Nick, and then Roberto last. So yeah. I feel good about that. That's a hard thing to do. Because
it's really hard to do. I don't think people realize that.
Difficult to do that.
I'm going to tweet this out and be like, I gave TJ five players. This is how I ranked them.
People are going to be like, how did you get? So, yeah.
But it's not a bad list at all. It's really not.
Well, I mean, how many awful, well, like, who could you put in there? Case and Beatty, you know, to like really trip somebody up.
Yeah.
But how would you rank those five? The way I did, like Jameis, LaMarcus, Timmy, Nick, and then Roberto?
So I would definitely say Jameis, LaMarcus, Timmy, Nick, then Roberto. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably right. So I feel good about that. I really just kind of flip-flop, you know, flip Timmy up a little bit.
Yeah.
I should have known there were too many studs on there and put Roberto in the
bottom. You know what's funny is when I was putting that list together today, I originally did not have Jameis on there. And I'm like, I want to force TJ to have Jameis not number one. So I added him to the list. I forget who I took off.
That was my fear. I would have left, like, I would have put Case and Beatty at one before I accidentally had Jameis five. Like, that, my strategy for this was to leave number one open just in case Jameis was on it. All right, I'll do it next week. Next week we'll blind rank something else. And I'll make you go. So I'm going to be meaner than you are, though. Like, I'm going to give you, I'm not going to tell you how, but I'm going to be a bigger jerk than you were.
You get a little nervous doing it because you have no idea. And again, y'all, I promise TJ had no idea what the topic was. He had no idea which players were going to be options. That was all off the top of the head. Really good list that you ended up with, actually.
Yeah, no complaints on this end. I will give Sleeper some love really quick. If you're watching the rest of the playoffs, if you're watching the NFL, which the Bucks are annoying, but if they go 2-0 these next 2 weeks, then maybe we can keep Bulls for another year. Make sure you use our code DFNS for 100% match up to $100 on the Sleeper app. We appreciate them for their support. Richie, I would expect a GM hire comes in pretty soon. Hopefully we've pressured the admin to do that since they've had since the Stanford game. All right, I'm off my no negativity schneid. Hopefully the admin has been pressured enough into doing that soon, because the portal opens up here. What's the portal open up on January 5th? We're like 15 days from that. Not that I'm counting that down. Yeah. Not that I'm counting those 15 days down for anything specific, but it's about time we get on the ball there and get going, because January 5th will be a big day when that thing opens up. And hopefully when it opens up, we are somewhat ready for it. So I would expect news on that to come soon, but we'll see, man. They're, you know, I expected a lot of things this year, and sometimes they happen, sometimes they didn't. So do you have any final thoughts? Do you want to talk about your favorite Christmas movie? Do you have any shout out? Like, whatever you want to do, man. Close it out however you want.
Yeah. So favorite Christmas movie, and then a few shout outs. Die Hard. Every year, people attack me on Twitter saying it's not a Christmas movie. That's fine. It definitely is. I was actually just watching Home Alone before I came in here to hop on this. Home Alone 2, because my wife's at work and she doesn't like Home Alone 2, but loves Home Alone 1. But shout outs. This pains me to do this. First of all, shout out to everyone. Safe travels if you're traveling for the holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. This will be our last show before Christmas. And I hope you all are extremely blessed. And my shout out, unfortunately, I will do it because he's a Seminole, but Ryan Fitzgerald beat the Bucks on a game-winning field goal. It wasn't as time expired or anything, but it was a clutch field goal from 48 yards, and the Bucks are now in a very, very must-win situation next Sunday.
Yeah, need to win the next two. So hopefully that can happen. I don't know if we've done a live show since the women's soccer team won the national championship, but my shout outs for Brian Pinsky, who celebrated a birthday right after that. So Coach Pinsky's awesome. I sat down with him in his office for about an hour during one of the softball tournaments last year, and he was so gracious with his time. And just literally, we just talked about football and soccer and, you know, the softball playoffs and everything else that was going on. And he told me, you know, remember we had Kerkorian on, and he said, yeah, this isn't a rebuilding year. Like, this is a, we're going to be really good year. Yeah. Pinsky kind of said the same thing. He's like, TJ, we're going to be really, really good. Like, I just want you to know, like, we're going to be great. And, you know, it's all about, you know, if you get to the tournament, you know, anything could happen. Fluky things happen. Florida State scored with 3 minutes to go in the game. I was on a flight watching it. I paid the $11, Richie, for the Wi-Fi. Maybe I've already told this story, but it was cool to see it. In fact, we were landing and I was like, oh crap, I'm going to miss the last 5 minutes of it. But then we were way in the back because I'm poor. And we had plenty of time. Me and the boys were like, can I play with your phone? And I was like, nah, I'm watching the game, man. Just chill out over there. So
Our ladies soccer team is the 5-star that we actually deserve.
Yeah, for real. Shout out to them. Five and 11 years is insane. And that's crazy. Cool to see Pinsky win, you know, kind of 1-1 with Mark's team. In his first go around, but to win one kind of with your own players that you brought in and you've developed, and kind of, not that it wasn't validated already, but to kind of validate himself too. I know that was a big
deal. He did ACC rival in Stanford.
Yeah. They were really good. Florida State was fortunate to come away with the win there. I thought Stanford was the better team for like 80-85% of that game. So on Christmas movies, Macaulay Culkin came out and said, which a legend in the Christmas movie world, came out and said,
who he is. Yeah.
Came out and said that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. That's not my take. You can argue with Macaulay Culkin, but that was his take, is that Die Hard is not one. So,
well, did you see where he said he watches Home Alone with his kids, but his kids have no idea that he's Kevin?
Yeah. Home Alone is one of my favorite. Home Alone's way up there for me. And then Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Just so many quotable moments from that, from, you know, Cousin Eddie, and, you know, just the rest of the movie are all pretty great. So those are I don't know if I have a favorite, but those are my top two. So when I was a kid, I really liked Jingle All the Way. I don't think that holds up quite as well as some of the other ones. So
it's still funny. If
it
like,
is,
if you, it's a great background. Like if you're like cleaning the house,
if you're doing something,
just throw it on the TV and you'll hear a scene pop up and you're like, okay, let me watch the next 5 minutes and then get back to what I'm doing.
All right. And so now that you've heard us talk about Christmas and Christmas movies and everything else, we do hope you have a wonderful Christmas or whatever you may celebrate this season. We'll be back most likely next Sunday. We'll see kind of how the next week goes or something. We're not really pulling an old cast here, but we'll see how the next week goes. Richie and I deserve some time off and some vacation days. So don't yell at us if we're not here Sunday, but we do appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hope you have a great holiday with your family, and we will talk to you soon on Double Fries, No Slaw. Go Noles.